but you got to pay attention to the detail. Because if you have a constitutional convention to do what you want, it could also abolish the First Amendment for free speech and call everything you say hate speech. It could abolish the Second Amendment to outlaw private gun ownership, like they do in Australia and England and most of Europe. It could get rid of the Electoral College so that New York and California will pick all of our presidents for the future. And if you have a constitutional convention, guess who's going to pick the delegates? It's not going to be you. It's going to be the same George Soros hand-picked, funded people that have all these crazy prosecutors who are letting all the criminals on the loose. So be careful what you wish for. That's going to be presented this Saturday. We meet every Saturday morning for breakfast, 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's on New Road and Groveland Avenue in Summers Point. But that's the program for this Saturday.
Well, what else is going on? I mean, you've got so many things.
Yeah. Well, of course, let's not forget that this is Easter weekend. Yesterday was Good Friday. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And normally, Jewish Passover and Christian Easter take place at the same time. In fact, the Hebrew word for Passover, Pesach, is almost the same as Pascua. You know, the French and Italian and Spanish words for Easter. But because the Jewish calendar is a quirky kind of calendar that has a leap month instead of a leap day every few years, the Passover won't be till the full moon of next month. And the last full moon on last Sunday, Palm Sunday, was the Jewish festival of Purim. So I had an only in America moment as I'm driving up for this Jewish holiday of Purim, where we celebrate that the Jews were saved and we eat and drink and have a good time with family. So as I'm riding up on the parkway, and as soon as I lose WFPG, I was listening to a Palm Sunday service telling the story of, the passion of Jesus. And it was interesting listening to the story from a Jewish perspective. Because if I weren't Jewish, I'd be baffled by how on Palm Sunday the Jews welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, cheering him and praising him and waving, palm leaves to welcome him in. And then just a week later, or actually even just a few days later, they're arresting him and calling for his crucifixion. So how can you explain that total change in attitude? And if you understand, Jewish history, it's no mystery at all, because there were like different groups of Jews. The Jews who lived in Jerusalem, you might call them the globalists. They were with the high priest. They were with the Romans. They were the sophisticated business elites. But and of course, they were afraid of an outsider like Jesus getting a popular following in the countryside. But most ordinary Jews who lived in provinces and farms and villages like Galilee, they loved Jesus. They welcomed him whenever they saw him. But most of the Jews of the countryside never came to the big city, the capital of Jerusalem, except on certain festivals like the Passover. So Jerusalem was crowded with out-of-towners from the small villages. When Jesus came, so of course they cheered Jesus because he was one of them, and it was the so-called globalists, the elites, who were working with the Romans, who were very fearful of Jesus. So, ironically, when you use the term Jew, it's just like almost like the term Yankee. If you're out of the country, a Yankee refers to every single American, but if you're in America, of course, Yankee only means those people who lived in New England. So it's funny how you misuse a word to blame a whole group of people for just like a handful. And I guess one of the interesting things is, this is why Jesus had to be arrested at night, because the authorities knew if they tried to arrest him in the daytime, he'd be surrounded by thousands of Jews who adored him. And so you have to make a distinction between those elite Jews who were close to the Romans and the ordinary people. And one of the side things I didn't even realize in the story is I was listening to the radio going up to Brooklyn, was that when, you know, what were most ordinary Jews doing on the night Jesus was arrested? It was a Seder. That is when Jews are with our families. We have to have at least 4 cups of wine so we could celebrate and rejoice in getting out of slavery in Egypt. So most Jews are really on Passover night, you know, they're falling asleep. And I thought it's ironic that when Jesus knew something was up and he told his disciples, you know, stand guard for me because something's going to happen. And I think 2 or 3 times his disciples, who were supposed to be watching on guard, they fell asleep. And, you know, to anyone who's Jewish, we understand that because every Jew who's celebrating the Passover properly is falling asleep by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night because we had too much to drink. So to say that the Jews were plotting and scheming to, you know, to arrest or crucify Jesus, they weren't there to be with Pontius Pilate because, again, they were all sleeping it off because that's what Jews do on the Passover holiday. Anyway, it was just like, to me, an only an American moment just driving up to visit my cousins in Purim, which is the second festival where we're supposed to drink and eat a lot to celebrate. But that's some insight as to what's going on with the Easter story to explain, you know, that difference.
Well, you know, it's not unusual that the Catholics try to sell you something, you know.
No, but it really makes sense, and I guess I owe it all. I was very lucky. When I went to Duke University, which is a Methodist college, it was mandatory for all incoming freshmen to study first semester Old Testament, second semester New Testament. And I think if every American had that basic knowledge, I think a lot of Jews would realize how Christian Judaism is and how Jewish Christianity is. It's really a common culture, especially when we're all under attack with these Wahhabi Muslims who want to destroy all of us.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what this weekend is about. Meanwhile, the news is very depressing. Going into New York, I'm surrounded by stories of women just walking on the sidewalk, going to work, going to the store, and just random people just punching them in the face, breaking their jaw, making them have extensive permanent damage to their face for no reason. And we're seeing all these videos of gangs of young black men and women attacking and savagely beating helpless people just because they're Asian and white. Or white, and you say, well, what is driving this? And it's pretty obvious. We have this hatred of white being taught in our schools and popular culture, the fake black history, the fake woke history, where every evil in the world is somehow the fault of at first it was just toxic white men, but now that hatred is being projected on white women as well. So how do you fix this? Well, you have to change our whole Hollywood movie culture, our TV culture, what we're teaching in our schools, but we also have this the so-called prison reform and bail reform that we've had during the past 10 years that puts these dangerous psychopaths out on the street, and anyone could be just randomly targeted just because you make eye contact with the wrong person, or even you just walk by. I mean, it's horrible, and we have to deal with it. And our police, who need to be focusing on that, are instead distracted with 8 million illegal aliens overwhelming our country. So you have to ask yourself, where are the Republicans? Have you heard a single Republican at the local, county, state, or federal level saying we need to get rid of that bail reform? We got to get rid of that prison reform. We got to put psychopaths in prison. And we got to keep them there because they're not getting rehabilitated. But I don't hear anyone saying that.
No, I don't either. You're right. I don't either. No.
And by the way, that case, remember about a month ago, I said there was a case brought by Andrew Kim to get rid of that little known system in primary elections that lets the county Republican and Democratic bosses handpick the candidates. So that if someone like a Seth Grossman runs for state senate, I appear on row or column F in ballot Siberia. The federal court just knocked out that whole system. So for next year, there's a chance for ordinary citizens who really care about changing the way politics is done to get elected and get nominated. So there's a little bit of hope there that we could turn this around.
Well, that's all we can do is hope. But you're right. I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. And I'm with you. I don't know why anybody hasn't said anything, you know.
So anyway, that's a classic Jewish teaching that we pray for miracles, but we don't depend on them. We have to work for them. And it's too late to do anything this year, but the door is open to make major political changes next year here in New Jersey. So hopefully we could do something. Meanwhile, another random story, it comes from Italy. Georgia Meloni in Italy. The big news was that Italy had the lowest number of births since Italy was created in the 1860s. And Elon Musk pointed that out. And, of course, the person being blamed for this is Giorgia Meloni, who was supposed to be the female Donald Trump of Italy, who was elected on fighting illegal immigration, fighting the global economy, promoting families. And yet in 2 years, in spite of all those campaign promises, it was a miserable failure and a disappointment. So a lot of Europeans are really worried that Italy is committing suicide by nobody is being born in Italy from Italians and being overwhelmed by illegal immigrants. So that's a depressing thing. And closer to home, last night in Ventnor, I was really honored to hear a very intense story from someone from a group called Faces of October 7th. You have several dozen survivors from Israel who lived through the attacks of October 7th, and they're going around speaking to various colleges and community groups. And you had a 29-year-old guy called Nikita Somros from one of the villages near Gaza. And it's one thing to read a newspaper report or see something on video news, but to hear someone explain what it was like when he, 29 years old, his wife, his 5-year-old son, when the rockets went off and they went into their safe room, like a bomb shelter, to wait for the rockets to stop. And instead of the rockets stopping, they find out, they hear gunfire right outside their house. And they have their cell phones, and they could get text messages and find out that you have about 30 or 40 terrorists who are just going through their little village of 300 people, just banging on doors and breaking into the safe rooms and either shooting or kidnapping everybody there. And for them to be there for 12 hours before they were finally rescued, just the sheer terror, it was just a gripping experience, and I think everyone needs to understand why the people in Israel want to be safe. And it was just a fascinating story. And by the way, a little bit of history. Most Arabs did not move to Palestine until after the 1920s, when the Jews drained the malaria swamps, watered the deserts, planted the trees, and rebuilt the cities and farms. And if you don't believe Palestine was mostly empty till the Jews came, just read when Mark Twain visited there in the 1890s, and he reported how the place was mostly empty. That's because the Romans had rounded up and sold most of the Jews to slaves, as slaves, and that the goats and camels of Arab nomads killed almost every bit of vegetation in Israel till the Jews got there. So we have to know that. And there's just one other point. I don't know if you listened to any of Mark Levin last night.
No, I didn't hear it.
but Joe Rogan, but he was talking about Joe Rogan, very popular podcaster. And he was talking about how Israel is guilty of genocide because they murdered some unarmed Palestinian men. And if anyone knows how this kind of war is being fought, it's like the Hamas fanatics, the terrorists, it's like the mafia. They don't walk around carrying their weapons. They keep their weapons nearby. And then whenever they see Israelis go by, they just take their weapons and they shoot them. And if the Israelis would shoot back, then the Israelis would kill, like, the women and children who were next to terrorists, because the terrorists would be shooting from their homes with their women and children right next door. So the Israelis figured out a tactic to deal with this. And instead of just attacking the terrorists when they were being shot at, the Israelis would just wait the terrorists out and wait until the terrorist had to go to the bathroom or had to go get something to eat or had to go do some other business. And then the Israeli soldiers would kill the terrorists when they did not have their weapons, when they were just leaving to do something. And that's normal in every single war. But you see how the Israelis are blamed? If they shoot back when they're being shot at, they're blamed for killing women and children.
Yeah.
And if the Israelis wait until the terrorists put their weapons down, go to the bathroom, go get food, go do something, then the Israelis are guilty of genocide for murdering unarmed Palestinian fighters. So you can't win, but America is going to be facing a war like this very, very soon. So we ought to learn from the Israelis. What happens to the world happens to the Jews first. Anyway, Liberty and Prosperity meeting right now.
You're late.
The evils of the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. Don't be fooled.
Okay. Seth, as always, good stuff. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, the website libertyandprosperity.com. It is Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.